Truly unbelievable. Last year, it was crazy. We got the back door into the Big Ten Championship, and we found ourselves going to Indy. And now, after an incredibly unexciting, uninspiring start to the season for these Hawks, they've gave us the bird and said, we're doing this for us, and have rattled off four straight. Now take Floyd home and are one win away from a repeat to Indianapolis. Let's have a day, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. This is episode 370 of the Jack Campbell podcast. And as if he wasn't already an Iowa legend, you know, people are going to remember Jack for a long time. Jack Campbell just cemented himself as somebody who will be remembered for the history of the program. Until they stop playing football at the University of Iowa, people are going to speak Jack Campbell's name because he just won us a fat ass pig and most likely the West and a bid to the Big Ten title game. So Jack Campbell, I bow down to you, sir. All time.
Where's the outlaw at, huh?
He's in Denver. I mean, he did just have a tough ending to an overtime game. The Raiders got the ball first, and they scored with it. So our T's and P's to Jose as he and the team.
Josie couldn't stop him, huh?
I mean, Davante Adams scored from like 30.
Should have put Josie on him one-on-one.
I don't think so.
Bad matchup for the outlaw.
I think they had their best cover guy on him. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, they had Pat Surtain on him, and
Shoot, I saw number 35. I thought.
I'm pretty sure Surtain was on.
Was it Surtain? Just, okay.
He got crossed up on a post corner, and touchdown first drive. Again, NFL overtime rules are trash.
I was just gonna say, dumb fucking rule, right? Dumb fucking rule. How does that make any sense?
Doesn't.
If it's because it's putting a percentage of it on the coin flip, whether it's, you know, a big percentage or a small percentage, the coin flip is still playing a percentage in that. And that's just kind of bullshit.
I think like before they made the most recent rule change where like a field goal doesn't automatically win, it is like when you could win like a field goal on the first drive, the winner of the coin flip won like 60%+ of the time.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Which is stupid, right?
Then you're just gambling with football games.
Right. Right. I'm not sure what it is in college, but I'm guarantee it's not 60%.
I bet it's very close to 50-50.
I'd imagine so. Because I think there is a slight advantage to winning the coin toss and going second on offense, but it's not going to give you 10 percentage points.
No. The NFL's weird, man. Cowboys just curb stomp the Vikings, and Vegas just knows, huh?
How did we get off of Jack Campbell?
We're going to come back to him. We're going to stroke Jack. We're going to Jack all night tonight. But I just want to talk about how you brought to the boys in the message.
I said, why does -1.5 Dallas at Minnesota make sense? I just looked at it and I said, in my mind, this doesn't make sense. Minnesota has a high powered offense. They're playing well. They're finding ways to win games. I understand Dallas's defense is good, but like
8-1
at home as a home dog at 8-1 in the NFL, that blew my mind.
And then the Cowboys made it even worse, and they said -1.5.
Give us 25.
Give us 30. You know, like it didn't even make any sense. I will say this: YouTube TV, what an invention, right? Like technology. Coming home from Nebraska today, we had a little early Thanksgiving with one of Lauren's sides down there, and You know, we're 36.
It's that
weeks.
Annoying time of year where Kluver's about to tell us about all the 18 fucking family get-togethers he's got with the extended family nobody cares about. It's like, give it a fucking rest.
You're so salty that I go to every holiday. I don't understand why you're so salty about that. Can't people spend time with the fam? What's wrong with
you
that?
You can, but man, four Easters, four Thanksgivings, four Christmases. It's like,
and we're now on our like fifth rotation of this podcast. We've now heard about 60 family gatherings.
You haven't heard about any of them. I've just told you that I came.
No, back. We have.
2.5 hours. Well, I guess 3.5 hours back. And you just throw the YouTube TV up on the dash on one of your phones. And I'm just watching Dallas versus Minnesota on the way home. It's like, it changes the game for car rides. We used to have to hope a DVD player would work, and you're watching on the same size screen. Hope you didn't forget the earphones, the headphones, and it's just like mom and dad are pissed in the.
Remember when like the cool kids cars had DVD players built into like the minivans?
Well, that was you, Kevin. Let's be honest.
Dude. He said the cool kids cars. What he meant was the rich kids cars.
What he meant was I'm a cool kid.
I was a cool kid. All right. But yeah, I don't think they have to do that anymore.
Let's just, dude, that's what I'm saying.
Do any cars still have DVD players in them?
Do DVDs still exist?
Who buys DVDs?
I still actually have our entire DVD collection.
Really? That we kept at Benton?
That from my home as a child growing up, like, you know, my parents, like, does anyone want these DVDs? I'm like, yes, give me the DVD.
Do you guys still have the VHS tapes at, I guess you sold the lake house.
The lake house is sold. The VHS tapes, I think, were decommissioned as well.
Oh, dude.
I think there might be a couple still around, like some of those old Disney movies.
The size, like they're the size of books, and they're just like
literally,
You open up that fat plastic case, dig your fingernail in there, you get that satisfying, it unpops from the little sockets, and you're like, oh, I'm about to plug this VCR in. Fuck yeah.
I'm about to watch this Robin Hood movie 3 times in a row.
I'm gonna rewind Bambi because nobody rewound it after the last time somebody watched it, and then I'm gonna watch it all the way through. Oh, fuck. Anyway, that's what I did on the ride home today. Watching that game, blowing my mind. Don't bet the NFL is where I was going with that, because you will lose. You'll lose your bets. And that's why Drake, quite frankly, was out early in the season.
But I was not out on the Hawks straight up with a buddy of mine who talks way too much shit about Minnesota teams. Banged off a quick 500 piece.
Hawks made, let's just say this, the Hawks made some Hawks some money this weekend, because I think damn near everybody in the Benton chat had Hawks money line. I had it by itself, and I had it parlayed with the under.
Under was a lock.
Well, that 10-point quarter by the Hawks to start the game was like, sheesh.
Dude, I was feeling so good about being up 10-0 with 5 beans on the line.
Yeah, that had to feel pretty good. Yeah. How did it feel when it was 10-10 and Ibrahim was jamming it down our ass?
Listen. Why? Okay, so, you know, Coach Brian, I'm a big fan of yours. You're smarter than I am. I shouldn't be questioning you. But, Coach, why the fuck did you not sneak it on 3rd and 1? What are we doing handing the football off in that situation? Just sneak it. We're good at sneaking the ball. Just sneak the ball. Okay. That was one of the things. And then, I mean, somebody shoot the zebras, because they're overpopulated. They're not supposed to be in America. I don't know what zebras are doing in the cold in Minnesota, but shoot them. They have rabies. They're dangerous. Shoot them, because they really fucked Jack. And also my, what am I trying to say?
They fucked you too.
like my whole nervous system. I was just I was way too fried after that play.
Did you guys feel that this game? Like a little bit there was a little bit of uneasiness. Like I felt this one in like the butterflies in the stomach. And I think it's because we were getting close. The taste of Indy is there. And us three know specifically after an undefeated year, only one chance at Indianapolis. And of course it slipped through our fingertips. How fucking sacred that is.
Spencer Petras, two-time West champ, as long as they get it done this next weekend.
Hard to argue with, man.
Hey, who's got a better resume than him?
This team continues to impress. I will tell you what does not continue to impress, and shout out to our sponsors, DRF Sportsbook. First of all, anybody who's betting the boosts, which has been Iowa Moneyline the last 2 weeks, or Iowa to cover, you're cashing in, all right? The boosts have hit. Actually, I think that's 3 weeks in a row now after going 2 weeks off. So in the last 10 weeks, we're 8 for 10 on boosts, by the way, or something like that.
I don't know if DRF is going to be sponsoring us anymore. We're probably losing.
Oh, they are.
They're going to sponsor us because plenty of people are doing what we do, Kev, and just going 1-2, 0-3. I mean, I'm ass, dude. I am ass.
But you got the Hawks and the Hawk under parlay.
Right, but my picks on the pod were – let me go back through them real quick.
They were not good.
They were horrible.
Because I texted
Michigan covering, and Michigan
just barely snuck out of there.
Yeah, sneaks one by. And, you know, like, I'm like, of course, Illinois is going to drop the ball versus Michigan State and Purdue and then somehow beat Michigan to fuck up our comeback of the fucking century.
Right.
You had Michigan -17.5 and they win by one. Yeah.
17-16 or something stupid like that. Dude, I was so pissed. I was going to be so livid. And I know y'all were too. If Illinois goes in at the big house and just kills Iowa's chances. Now, again, would have a part of me been like, okay, I get it. 8-4. Like, you know,
that upset about not going to Indiana.
You can't be mad about losing to Illinois and losing to Michigan and losing to Ohio State. You can't be mad about, like, if you're not going to make the Big Ten championship. But I was about to be pissed. And I thought, hey, if I don't know if you guys caught the front of that game, Corum's in the end zone 4 minutes in on Illinois' defense. And I'm thinking, oh, it's a lock. 17.5? Easy money. And what do you know? Similar to the Iowa game, it slows down mightily after people get settled in. So there's one of my losses, 0-1. It was actually my third pick. How about Wisconsin and Nebraska, right? -12.5. It actually went down to -10.5, and that's where I bet it at.
You need a last-second field goal or a last-minute field goal to win that game.
Wisconsin had to have a miracle, almost similar to like the Iowa game, how it came down to the wire to drive in and get a last-minute, last-drive touchdown to beat Nebraska, who's ass. And by the way, I was in the parking lots outside of Memorial Stadium in Nebraska when that game finished. Not a cool story. We were just picking up Lauren's sister. She was at the game. But as Nebraska fans filed out of that stadium, the conversations they were having, dude. Oh, yeah. My God.
We got to talk with Searles later this week to get the pregame Nebraska. But I got to wonder, what is happening in the minds of Nebraska fans over there?
So there's a couple students.
Are they just like, you know what? Fuck it. This season's fucked. We don't even care anymore, or what's going on over there? We just nuke the whole program.
The conversation that I heard, the whole program. Yeah, the conversation that I heard specifically was like three students, probably a little, you know, juniors or seniors, walking away from the stadium, and the one kid, they're drunk. I mean, they clearly are fucking idiots, but still funny to hear him. He's like, "We thought it was the coach, or we thought it was the quarterback. Adrian leaves. We got Casey in there. Trash." We thought it was the coach. We fired Frost. We got Mickey Joseph. trash. The Huskers just fucking blow. That's what he said. That's word for word. The Huskers just fucking blow. And I was laughing.
I mean, no lies detected there, right? I mean,
zero.
It was funny. There's like some other fans that are like, Wisconsin's always so, there were two women. Wisconsin's always, they're just such assholes. They're always assholes. They're just the most asshole fans. Like, I just wish we could beat them one time.
Sounds like women.
I mean, Wisconsin, try beat Iowa one time.
Yeah, that would help too.
I mean, honestly, it's gotten to the point where, you know, I'm not even going to poke fun at Searles when we have him on because it's the joke's over, right?
It's not funny
anymore. It's not like Nebraska was, you know, the consistent 8-10 win program and they're having a down year. You can poke fun in them, needle them. You know, it's just like you're making fun of a bad program.
This program is Rutgers, dude.
Rutgers and Nebraska are
super similarly trash.
They're on equal levels right now over the
last. You know, if Northwestern didn't have like a historically bad season this year, I think Nebraska would have finished last in the West 2 years in a row.
I believe so. Yeah. Which, by the way, Nebraska lost to Northwestern. Can't say that they're really feeling too good about being second to last anyway. Nebraska is the meme, Kev, where it's like you're poking it with a stick and you're like, hey, do something. Do something.
Come on.
I don't know if there's a program over the last 5 years in college football that's lost more one-score games than Nebraska. There can't be. There can't be. Every loss they have is one score. It's unbelievable. They don't know how to win games. It's a DNA thing. It's in their genetics. And Frost fucked them up bad. And I don't know where he's at right now, probably drinking a Mai Tai on the beach with his buyout money. But it's not good over there in Lincoln, boys and girls. Anyway, so Wisconsin fucks me. 0-2. And God, this one hurts. TCU Baylor. I had a feeling this was going to be a close game. I even considered taking Baylor on the cover until Kevin took TCU on the cover, and I wasn't going to go against that. We both bet this game still. Kevin bet it, TCU -2.5. I took the over of 57.5, 29-28.
Did you call it? Was it?
No, I called the hook on the Michigan game, but that's Duffy Gluck.
Dude.
Arr, Vegas got you again.
So the same thing that fucked you in that game fucked me is the missed extra point early in the game. Then they have to go for two later in the game, miss that. So really, they make that extra point. They go for one the next one. And they kick that field goal. They win by 3, over hits, and I cover.
Not good. Not good. What was cool to see was something that we used to practice at the end of Fast Friday every single week. And that is a field goal with no timeouts left, where the offense, you know, the receiver catches the ball. He fires up the ref. Yeah. Ref. They sprint off directly off the sideline. The PAT field goal unit is ready to come on at an angle. They sprint on. Everybody gets down in position. You've got, I think we used to practice it with like 16 seconds left, and they literally had 16 seconds on the clock and executed it perfectly.
Got to do that though, did we?
Not once in our career did that come up. Fortunately. But they executed it perfectly, and TCU survives. They are, 11-0 now?
They are 11-0, yep.
And they have
they're 2 wins away from a championship appearance. They've got the Cyclones.
They have 4-7 Iowa State to finish the season.
Man, talk about they're having a rough year over there in Iowa.
They lost it. I took them this weekend and lost. It wasn't a pick on the pod, but I took Iowa State -3.5 against Texas Tech. I thought, hey, bring the boys up from Texas. It's going to be cold. Iowa State, they'll find a way against Texas Tech, surely, right? Nope. Dude, Iowa State's trash. If Iowa State didn't beat Iowa this year, fucking Campbell might be on the hot seat. I mean,
talk about a guy whose stock has plunged more than that of freaking FTX and the crypto companies. Dude could have had any job he wanted 3 years ago. He was like, Nebraska's going to hire Scott Frost, or Nebraska's going to hire Matt Campbell. Or
Notre Dame,
some of the SEC schools, USC. Some of the NFL teams. Yeah, he was like a top guy on their list.
Stock is down.
Stock is down. I don't think anyone's a buyer anymore. I mean, I still think he's a decent coach, right?
I'm not someone who puts wins and losses all on coaches.
No, of course not. But I personally was never too high on him when he was the darling of the media of who's the big name coach to go get.
Sure.
I never felt like he performed up to the team's, you know, talent that he had when they were good, and doesn't seem to be able to coach around a team that doesn't have the talent, you know?
Well, what's interesting is the parallels between Iowa and Iowa State. A severe lack of offensive line talent or development right now. And for them,
but that, you know, you got one coaching staff that's just finding ways to win.
You're right. You're right. You can't argue with that. And that's where we go to next. Thanks, DRF, by the way, for just taking all of my money. Just bankrupting me. Hometown Sportsbook. They got all the analytics and education you want. Download DRF Sportsbook today. IA.DRF.com. I will say this. The boost this weekend, it boosted to actually some odds that other books had. So, DRF, yeah, you're a sponsor, but step up your game a little bit with the odds, right? Come on now. Hey, everybody, want to cut in real quick and make sure you guys have an opportunity to get some of the Wash Up Walk-Ons holiday merch this holiday season in 2022. Do you have a friend, a family member, or just some Hawkeye fan in your life that could use a gift? You're not sure what to get them? We've got the answer. It's the holiday store from the Walk-Ons. The Hawks by a Million gear is out there. The Walk-On gear is out there. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, there's a couple extra designs as well. Go to adcraftwebstores.com/washedupwalkons/holiday2022 and grab your merch today. It's only available for the next few days as this is a limited time store. And obviously, we want to talk about AdCraft Web Stores being our partner in this. They are the ones who make this work. They are the ones who make all these designs happen. If you need or happen to run across a time where you need custom merch or apparel, they are the people to go to. They threw this store together in a matter of 1 week. And if you dive into it, again, adcraftwebstores.com, you can sift through all of their current web stores and find ours. You will see how deep it is and how amazing it is that they could go through all these designs, all of these ideas, all of these pieces in just 1 week's time. So again, they can help you with your business. They can help you with your staff. They can help you with just a fun idea for you and your friends, a family reunion, school fundraisers. Maybe it's just a rec league sports team. AdCraftWebstores.com to go check out our merchandise and potentially get started with your own custom apparel store. So should we get is this the point where we get the lubrication out and we sit Jack Campbell down on the seat and
Jack off?
Yeah. I mean, kind of funny the conversation we were having in the text message, right? They're getting, and it doesn't take away the fact that, and we're going to talk about it, Iowa's defense was getting
gaped,
ass blasted.
I wouldn't say gaped. They were just getting pushed. They had a couple runs break free.
For like 270 on us.
Yeah, but not like, you know, gaping wide holes. He's just off to the races. It's 5 yards at a time,
There was only two big runs. And I want to say something that most people won't probably have this perspective, and I get it, it's there's no consolation prizes, but if we weren't as deep at defensive line as we are, there probably would have been more explosive plays. There probably would have been more 10 to 15 to 20 yard runs. We kept a lot of those runs at like 5 to 10 yards because we had a decently fresh, we have the ability to be fresh at defensive line longer than most people. So not something that will come up or really show itself if you look at it, but if you dive a little deeper, our defensive line depth probably helped us out in minimizing the damage, but the damage.
Well, it didn't hurt because, you know, for defensive linemen, just constantly playing run blocks versus a massive offensive line is exhausting. It's like pushing prowlers around, right?
Correct.
You're pushing sleds around. So a team that runs it, oh my God, how many times did they run it?
So many.
It had to have been 50, right?
100.
50 rushing attempts, yeah.
Jesus.
You definitely need to cycle your line, especially in those long, sustained drives.
Right.
But actually, big plays in the run game are a result usually of errors made on the back end, whether it's bad leverage, missing tackles, or just a blown assignment.
And
Kev, five yards at a time, you know, everything 8 yards in, that's on your front seven. So I was seeing, you know, initial coming off the ball, they were doing well. But Ibrahim is a really talented back.
He's good.
He's got a lot of patience.
Yes.
And when he finds the little chink in the armor, and then he.
Whoa there. Jeremy Lin, going to get canceled, Kev. Whoa.
He finds the little bubble, right? And then he leans in and attacks it, and he's able to push forward for 3 to 5 yards.
You're so right on the head, dude. I was going to say the exact same thing. Ibrahim's talent is not breakaway speed because he got out a couple times and Cooper ran him down. Like, we had guys run him down. He isn't – he's probably not even as fast as Caleb Johnson. But he's so fucking good at being patient, wait for the gap, and when he sees that gap, he is there – and he knows how to get 2 or 3 yards falling forward. Like,
yeah, he was always getting yards after contact too.
So, God, I mean, it was annoying.
Very, very physical back. We knew going in, like, offense runs through him. He's arguably one of the best running backs in the Big Ten.
I was just gonna say, is he top three, top five in the country? Maybe put him behind some of the.
I don't know about that. I don't either
because he's, I don't know.
Every in the Big Ten, I think
guaranteed. Chase, yeah. Brown, Corum, and him.
I might have Henderson over Chase Brown, but
okay.
Yes. Like, he just had a lot of patience waiting for bubbles to develop on the defensive side. So
his vision is really good.
Right. On the defensive side of the ball, right? You want your line to be at the same level, right? Because if you have one guy 2 yards ahead of the line of scrimmage, one guy a yard behind, that creates gaps, right?
Yep.
And what he was able to do is just wait along just enough for one of his guys to get an advantage and press forward a little bit. And that creates a little bit of a bubble, and he just lean in and take guys for a 3, 4, 5 yard ride. And that was basically what was happening off fourth quarter. There was a couple runs that were broken out. Both were on mistakes from the defensive backs.
And what do we see there?
One was a crack and replace. So the wide receiver is cracking the linebacker.
Yep.
As a DB, you're supposed to come off the ass of the wide receiver and be right there. Riley was a little aggressive riding that receiver, and Ibrahim's able to spring out down the sideline. I think that was like a 40-yard run or so.
Is that the one where Riley was in the backfield and swiped and missed him?
That was a different one. That was a blitz. He's supposed to come a little bit flatter down the line. A third one I'm thinking about is the quarterback run. We have our safety coming down. He's
Schulte.
He's supposed to be reading that read option. He's got the quarterback in that situation. He's a little bit too into the line, gets out leveraged, and that's, I think it was like a 20-yard quarterback run right there.
Yeah. I'm honestly surprised that he did not try and pull it more, because at some point we were keying so hard on Ibrahim because he was just crushing us.
What I'm more surprised by is the fact that they even threw it 15 times.
They didn't have Tanner Morgan. So, you know, obviously And welcome. I wanted to say this at the beginning, but welcome back to the Fairweather fans, by the way, who are now listening to the show. Just so convenient that you're here listening as we're one game away from Indianapolis now. But we appreciate the downloads and thank you for coming back and being there. The thing that I thought of, Kev, was going into this game, the Hawks defense, because it's not just the rushing game that matters, right? It's really what did this offense, or what does an offense do to you relative to what they normally do to an opponent as far as total yards gained throughout a game, right? That's a stat, total yards versus your defense and how many they average on a weekly basis. So they average as an offense 410 yards per game. Yes, they absolutely crushed us in the running game. However, we held them to total yards of 399. So we still held them under their average for the year. And I understand that we're getting crushed in the running game and a couple of those drives looked really bad, but it gets a little bit better when you put it in context of we still held them under their season average. And, you know, the passing game.
I wouldn't pat ourselves too much on the back.
I'm not
still way above our goals as a defense of yardage, especially in the run game, especially yards per carry. 6 yards per carry is the stuff that'll make Phil lose his shit.
Yeah. Is he having a heart attack? His blood pressure was high.
So, you know, I know he was fucking
pissed,
getting a little after it is when you start bringing blitzes to stop the run. That's kind of your last resort, right?
Right.
So ideally you can stop the run with your pregame plan with how you're adjusting the front and everything. If they're gashing you, what you first start doing is you start adjusting the D line front. So you start having them do gap exchanges, moving the front, switching gaps. That's not working. You change the coverage in the back end. So we started doing that. We started bringing safeties down, whether we're playing cover three or playing zone to the field, man to the boundary, and bringing a safety into the box. Third thing you do is like, fuck it. We just got to start blitzing.
Yep.
And we started bringing a little bit more pressure to stop the run, right? Like, we're not worried about them passing the ball on us.
No.
That's how I know that Phil was like, God fucking damn it, we got to fucking stop these motherfuckers. But when you're not really concerned about them, you know, in the pass game, you can do that.
And Tanner Morgan, not in the game. They bring in this Kalianakis kid, or I don't even know how you say his last name. He got hurt at one point. We had the third string in there for a while. Then the second string came back in, and they were not going to throw the ball. They just weren't going to do it.
Should have thrown it less.
Should have thrown it even less, because we're going to get to Jack Campbell's interception here at the end of the game in a second, which was a pick six, by the way.
I mean, the refs hosed him from an all-time epic play. All-time epic at any year, any era, any conference. That play was epic.
I don't think Riley Moss is getting enough love on this play. He made the hard part happen.
Oh, absolutely. He was draped all over. What was it? A slant route?
It was just like a 5 yard in route. Yeah. He gets his hand route in there, ball pops up, and then
Merry Christmas, Jack Campbell.
I have no idea how we won this game in the fourth quarter. They're driving. They're on the 30 yard line. They fumble.
I'm cursing.
Cursing, bro.
I'm starting to sweat.
I'm like so pissed off at that point that I'm almost not even happy about we just recovered the fumble. I'm still upset that we just gave up 70 yards of rushing in that.
Bruh, I was screaming at the TV while they were reviewing Jack's play, or not reviewing Jack's play. Like, I was just screaming.
Yeah, then we go three plays, 0 yards, punt, and then they go for four plays, 22 yards. They get to the Iowa 33 and intercepted.
So the story of this ball game is turnovers, clearly, and in the last 5 minutes. But I want to go back as well to another drive that Minnesota is going to look at and kick themselves over. And that's the missed field goal in the first half.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously Iowa comes out, huge play to Laporta. I look up, we're driving in the car because we were on our way
down.
What
happened to Laporta, dude? I missed that.
He got banged up. I think lower body. I'm not sure if it's
not 100% sure, but yeah, he did not come back to the game.
So Laporta runs 50 yards down the field. Nobody's like, he's just running free, like a horse out the gate, like a thoroughbred. And we don't capitalize on that. We get three. Would have been nice to get seven. I'm not going to complain. We come out three and out, 12 yard touchdown drive. What is this Iowa offense? Who are we, right? It's 10-0 first quarter.
12 plays. 65 yards.
I was just about to ask Kevin, how did we get the ball on the 12?
And now, and after that drive, Minnesota did answer. Really good drive by them. It's now 10-7. And the only thing that really happened between that and the crazy long drive at the end of the game was this missed field goal drive by Minnesota, where they go 11 plays, 73 yards, take off 5.5 minutes, and it ends with a slice shot by the kicker. And everybody who's golfing here has probably sliced it before, and it don't feel good, right? I have to aim at a 45-degree angle left if I'm teeing off most of the time.
That's one of the ones where you're like, you hit the ball, you immediately reach for your pocket, drop it on the ground, hit another one.
And the kicker felt that, man. That skimmies past the outside right of the post, and that ends up being the difference. Can you imagine if,
especially if they were up 13-10, driving?
Yeah, they're not like throwing. They're not throwing the ball. We don't get that interception.
No. So that's huge. We take a 10-7 lead into the half, and then we get to this long ass play. And I don't know if Minnesota's run or long ass drive. I mean, I don't know if Minnesota's run game is this good. I don't know. I know that they've done this to other people a couple times. I know Mo Ibrahim is a great running back. I know that Minnesota's offensive line is pretty darn good, but they made us look worse than Michigan's offensive line did running the ball. Run game.
Dude, the second half was tough on our defensive run game.
Yeah, I mean, big offensive line. You know, I had our guys outsized a little bit, and I think that's only the second time all year we've seen it. Like you said, Michigan did it to us a little bit too. We got some guys who are young, still use some time in the weight room, but the talent and the fundamentals are there, right?
Where are Jordan Davis at? We need one of them big old 6'5", 350 pounders.
We got to bring Ike back and put him at the nose tackle. Ike's out there.
Ike would probably be a phenomenal three tech.
Oh yeah. He'd be absolutely.
We get him chiseled down to 300, drop 30 pounds off of him. Oh yeah. He'd be a great.
Ike chiseled down. So
Ike would be chiseled at 300, I think.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Dude.
He'd look good.
So not to give anybody PTSD from yesterday, or I guess 2 days ago when you listen to this, but this drive, it's like a freshman football game when the one team is outmatched and you're just giving Drake Kulik the ball. And it's like, all right, Drake Kulik, run for 7, Drake Kulik, run for 10, Drake Kulik, run for 4. And
wait,
no one
you
can
really
stop
think right now. I could only run for 7 yards against a freshman football team.
I'm saying when you were a freshman, but I guess when you were a freshman, you were only about 135. So you probably weren't, I guess it was like Tyler Kluver freshman year.
Buddy, I was a quarterback.
Hmm.
I played linebacker and quarterback.
I forgot you were an athlete. Mo Ibrahim, run for 16. Mo, run for 8. Mo, run for 4. They try a pass, incomplete. Fuck it, we're going back to Mo, run for 7. Then that's when they pull the 19-yard quarterback keeper. Schulte misses his assignment. Mo, run for 2. Mo, run for 5. Mo, run for 2. Mo, run for 2. Mo, run for 2. Mo, run for 6. I mean, it's like every play, dude. First of all.
And that was the thing, right? They were rarely in bad situations on third down. So I think they were about 50% on third down, fourth down included.
Yeah,
not exactly where we want to be on defense.
No.
Right? This is a team where if we had them in third and six plus, they're in trouble, right?
Yeah.
So like when they had to drop back pass, they were in trouble. But yes. Third and three and below, and they were going to be aggressive on fourth down too. That's where they wanted to be. And they doing a good job of just taking what they needed.
I found it right here. Third down efficiency for them, actually, it wasn't horrible on our defense's part. 7 of 16 for them. But a lot of those conversions did come on that long drive. I think, let's see. 1, 2, 3 of those 7 came in that long drive. So that's what felt like it was hurting us so bad. And it was. But Kev, you guys know how unbelievable it is. I mean, the guy touched the ball like 14 times of the 16 plays on this drive. You get tired. You start to huff and puff. You're taking shots.
I'm tired right now, dude. We've been on a podcast for 40 minutes. I'm ready to cash in.
And if someone handed you
the rock 14 times in one drive.
In one drive in college against Iowa's defense.
Dude, that's a heroic effort.
And you know what happens?
He fumbles.
Starts to get a little loose. You're breathing heavy. You need a little bit more room against that chest for the chest to come out and breathe.
Drake, did it look to you like he was reaching the ball out for something too?
Yeah.
On initial, what I thought he reached out for it, but when it went from the opposite angle, it looked like the ball is pretty well tucked and Jack got himself in there pretty good.
He just put his shoulder right on the ball.
Dude, he aimed it like a perfect right hand, like a perfect sniper, dude. He put his scope on it and bang, shoulder right on the ball.
And when that ball fell loose, man, I thought, oh my God. And not but 2 minutes earlier, maybe even 90 seconds, Josie Jewell with the trying to come after me. Josie Jewell, man, seems like the best ever Iowa defense wouldn't let this happen, huh? I said, well, I mean, we still have only given up 10 points. All of a sudden, Jack Campbell pops that ball out, and I respond to the message, best ever defense, finds a way.
Wouldn't fate have it, after the conversation we've been having on this podcast, that it was Captain Jack back to back?
I say, best ever defense finds a way, huh? And we didn't do anything with it. Offensively,
we stink.
Our defense holds, bends but doesn't break on a 16 play 88 yard drive that takes off 9 minutes. Essentially the exact same drive that we lost the Big Ten championship in 2015. Very similar in plays and time off the clock and yardage, and we get the turnover and our offense goes out and goes incomplete, three and out, punt alert.
Despite the 13-point total, I will say I've seen some improvement here on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, we really only had 8 drives in this entire game. So
we don't get a lot of drives.
Well, I mean, that and Minnesota's running the ball the whole time. You get two drives a quarter.
Milking it.
Pass protection, I think, might be one of the best games that we've had all year long.
And Spencer had time and was in rhythm a lot.
The biggest, man, still wasn't – the run game obviously was not good this game. Man, these snaps got to get fixed. One of them killed the drive.
One of them was Spencer's fault, not the one that went way to the left. That was on Logan. One of them, Spencer just seemed to take his eyes off of it and just, I don't know what's happening, man, but that's got to be a point of contention in the offseason. It's like, this has to be a non-factor in 2023, right? I mean,
absolutely. Yeah.
So we go three and out And
overall, though, going back, you can go do your recap.
No, go for it.
I was going to say, I think overall, Spencer had a solid game.
I do too.
I think he delivered some really nice balls, and there's a couple balls that got dropped there.
Tell me up the left sideline to Nico. Is it a good ball or is it overthrown?
It's in between.
That ball should be caught.
That has to be caught, right?
That thing came with some gas, but it's got to be caught.
It still had some arch on it, though.
It was 30 yards downfield. I mean, I don't care how hard you throw the ball. The ball's got to be caught. I'm just saying he put some arm behind that thing.
Yeah.
So for the folks at home, a lot of people on that specific one are going to look at how much effort Nico had to put into getting to it and say, oh, that's on Spencer. At the Division I level.
That ball's got to be caught.
I heard this a long time ago. At the Division I level.
If it touches your hands, you've got to come down with it.
If it touches your hands, you should be able to catch it.
Two hands.
And that one was tough, but it touched his hands. And
I mean, he got both hands right on it. I mean, tough catch to make, but it's one that you got at the D1 level. At the D1 level.
If you ask
when the game's on the line, especially.
And fuck, man, did we draw that one up? We had him. Oh, we had him on it. That one hurt everybody. Every Hawkeye fan did a nice after that play. Boy, that one hurt. But you're right, Kev. 15 of 24 for 220 yards. No interceptions.
Taking care of the ball.
You know.
Throwing the ball away when it's not there, which it's unfortunately not there decent amount of time.
Often. Yeah.
Overall, I think he had a solid game.
I do too. A
couple throws he probably want back. But
sure. Yeah. So back to it. We punt and Torrey gets a pretty good. I want to commend the special teams as well. I believe that with wind chill, that's a 0 degree game. Colder than anything we've ever played in by about 6 or 8 degrees, I think. And when it gets to that level of cold, that football is so rock hard. It's fully tented, right? The football at that point, fully tented. There is no more tented to be. And it's slick, and it does special teams is a completely different game. And Drew Stevens was 2 for 2 with 2 big kicks.
3 for 3.
3 for 3, sure. And Torrey Taylor averaged 46 yards a punt or something like that. And it is not easy to do.
And had one really nice pinned inside the 5.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Good play by Cooper DeJean.
You will often see a lot of this is a side note, but you'll often see a lot of the Ray Guy and Lou Groza award finalists from warmer states because of how difficult special teams becomes when the cold comes in around late October, November. Unbelievable day. So Torrey puts out a 45-yard punt. And what do they do? I mean, God damn it. And it's not like they had a long break, right? 3 plays, 3 and out. But Mo Ibrahim, first play, 19 yards. And I'm thinking, God damn it, boys. We got to do something about this guy. We knew it was going to him. So they get all the way down to our 36. We stuff him for 1. I don't even know who Trey Potts is, but he runs it for 2. And they're 3rd and 7. And this is it, Kev. 3rd and 7. You put him in what's probably 3rd and medium to 3rd and long. And now they have
what yard line in that? They're on like the 33 yard line or something like that, right?
Correct.
This is a down and distance where, given how you're running the ball, if you're confident in your field goal kicker, you probably run the ball again here.
Absolutely. Because if you don't get it,
you have say you get 2 yards, you have a 48-yard field goal.
Yep.
Say you get it and you're close, you're probably 4th and 2 or less, you're probably going for it there.
You give it to Mo again and he gets it.
Yeah.
And they decide.
Lack of confidence in your field goal kicker there. Huge difference in the ball game.
And they decide to put it in the hands of Ethan Kalia Kamanis. Fucking worst name I've ever heard. Get a better name, bud. And he throws it to the guy that's being guarded by an All-American who tips it in the air to another All-American, and he takes it to the house for a goddamn touchdown. I don't care what you said, Zebra. It was a tutter.
So, okay. Watching on TV, looked like he stepped out of bounds. I never heard a whistle. Did they ever blow a whistle?
I never heard a whistle, Kevin. I'd never heard a whistle.
And that's why Jack didn't stop.
But it also looked like guys in Minnesota stopped. So I don't know if this play was blown dead, obviously sucks, but there's nothing you can do. But
absolutely trash.
If it's not blown dead, how can you not review it?
I don't know. The missing piece there is that there must have been a whistle. And if there wasn't, then we got fucked.
Yeah, by a single green blade of turf, he stayed in bounds.
It was like literally to the point where his momentum of pushing out against the turf created a curvature along the white line where the green got pushed out. It was unbelievable. I wanted him to have that so bad. Regardless, we don't get it. So now he steps out supposedly at the Minnesota 45-yard line, and this is where Brian Ferentz, creme de la creme, Laporta's out. We need something. What's Iowa football going to do with 2 minutes and 6 seconds left on the clock and a tie ball game, and you need about 10 yards for in this weather, you probably need about 15 yards. They're going to run the goddamn thing, right? Fuck no. Luke Lachey, 33 yards down the middle, boys and girls. Ice that game. Ice it. Put Floyd's feet on ice and take him home. God, that was exciting. Oh my God, that was exciting. And now all of a sudden the pig is getting warm in that Iowa truck.
Okay, we got to talk about why the fuck did we call a timeout before the
field? Our coaches.
There were 11 guys on the field.
Clusterfuck. Our coaches were worried we were going to get a flag, and they called a timeout thinking that we were going to get a penalty, and we were totally fine.
Okay. I was confused there. I'm like, the announcers say, oh, they only had 10 guys in the field. I pause. I'm like, no, that's 11. Yeah.
Yeah. And you and me, from watching so much of that film just in general or football in general, you know if something's wrong. You know, just out of formation, oh, there looks to be too many guys there, or oh shit, they need somebody on the end. And I didn't notice a damn thing. I was like, yeah, looks good. Let's kick it. And the first one goes right down the middle.
Right down the middle. And this is after a 4-minute review, which I don't know why the hell it took so damn long just for them to say the call stands.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And then we ice our kicker again, and I thought he missed it. I swear to God, I thought he missed it.
God, he poked that thing a little close to the post.
At this point, I was just catatonic, dude.
What does that even mean?
Look it up.
Just like in a coma, kind of.
For what reason? I mean, Drake, that's vague. You could be catatonic for a lot of reasons.
Dude, when we didn't sneak it on third and one, I was pretty heated. And then when it took 4 minutes to review it, I was starting to boil. And when we iced our own kicker, I fell over into a rage-induced coma. I was catatonic.
Into catatonia, which is the psychiatry definition of catatonic, is relating to or characterized by catatonia, catatonic schizophrenia. The informal definition is of or in an immobile or unresponsive stupor. So beautiful vocab by you there. Whether you intended it or not. Catatonic.
Of course I intended it. I said the fucking word, idiot.
And nonetheless, we kick it through. The ball goes through with 28 seconds left. And they have a shitty four-play effort that results in 9 total yards and an incompletion where we take over with 3 seconds. We kneel it. The pig is ours. We win Floyd for the 8th straight year.
Whoopsies.
They haven't seen it since 2014.
Bro, there is a famine going on in Minnesota.
I saw a hilarious tweet that said something like, props to PJ Fleck for respecting the Jewish community and staying away from pork? The Discord was going nuts. Patreon.com/washedupwalkons if you want in on that.
Or if you want any of that Goat Wallace merch.
If you want Goat Wallace merch, you got to get on the Patreon. If you want Hawks by a Million merch, go to, I've got the link right here. Meant to talk about it earlier. adcraftwebstores.com/washedupwalkonsholiday 2022. And you'll find Hawks by a Million dog bandanas, Hawks by a Million sweatshirts, t-shirts, walk-on merchandise, everything earned. Talk about everything earned in this Minnesota game. Kevin is cussing at his computer with his mic turned off right now, like some old lady just slipped and fell on ice and broke her hip, and now he has to go into work on a Sunday night.
No, I'm pissed off because I'm just looking up my fantasy score, and I'm finding out that Najee Harris, who I'm playing against, scored a touchdown in with 30 seconds left in a game that they had already lost. So fuck that.
Well, I got bent in both of my leagues. We're 55 minutes in, boys.
Didn't save my sub, Joe Burrow, for Jimmy G, and Joey B went off for like 35 points today. So,
oh, you want to hear? I've got one too. I'll just add to it. Picked up Baker Mayfield off waivers. We play an offensive position in my hometown, Marshalltown League. So it was either Baker Mayfield or Dawson Knox, the tight end for Buffalo. Probably going with a quarterback on that one, right? Well, Baker went for 6 points and Dawson went for 10, and I'm going to lose by like 2 or 3. So that's fun. Anyway, final thoughts on this Minnesota game. And boys, we are staring at 3-8 Nebraska, who plays for nothing except for the Heroes Trophy this weekend, this Friday against the Hawks. And they are all that stands in our way between a return trip to Indianapolis, Indiana for the Big Ten title game, which will be against Michigan or Ohio State. That game is going to be absolutely lit this weekend. And no one would have ever guessed or bet that this would be the case. Where are we at? How do we end this? What are we doing?
Boys just keep finding a way to win. And I, you know, as bad as Nebraska's looked this year, I think it's going to be a close game because it always is.
They play with everybody.
And it's, you know, it's the last game of the year, right? It's the seniors, possibly the last football game they ever play.
Yep.
Any decent team that cares about each other is going to play hard in your last game of the year, right?
Yep.
So we're expecting the best. They're going to be another close game. I expect them to find another way to win. And
do you expect the walk-ons to be buying you a ticket to Indianapolis? I mean,
might have to. The story of this season, just been one of resilience, and I'm fucking so happy for the guys in that locker room, that coaching staff, for all the shit that they've had to put up with this year and still have all of their goals in front of them. Awesome.
Love it. Awesome. Love it. How about, and just to touch on it, that pick of Jack hugging Coach Ferentz, goated.
Gotta put that one in the Louvre.
Hang it in the Louvre, or however you say that.
You know how KF will sometimes talk about teams that, you know, despite not having a flashy record, he's like, that was a good football team. You know, whether, you know, we started off 2-2 in 2004 and then we ran the table.
Yep.
Or he talks about that 2013 team, you know, only an 8-4 football team, but, you know, really good leadership, really good culture. I think, you know, when he's coaching down the line, he's going to talk back about that 22 football team. You know, we were 3-4. Everyone had us dead. And those guys came together, rallied and set, and just kept finding ways to win football games. And we ended up playing for a Big Ten title.
Unbelievable.
I think this is going to be one of KF's seasons that he'll look back on and be like, you know, could have been a better year. Yeah, obviously there's two really close losses in there, but he can be proud of the work that those boys did that year.
That meme with the guy in the car, like the old guy, 3-4 Iowa, call an ambulance, but not for me, bitch. That is the story of this season.
I mean, we said it after the Ohio State game, right? Is Every game, the rest of the season was completely winnable, also losable. And it was going to be up to the guys in that locker room how it was going to turn out. And credit to them, man, they couldn't have responded better.
Dude, I can't wait. I want so badly, selfishly. This is total selfish interest because I run a show about this team and this program. I want one of them, one of these seniors to come on when we start getting guests in the off season. I want them to come on and be like, fuck you guys. I want it. I want them to give it to us and be like, you guys are part of the noise. We fucking listen to your podcast. You guys said we were fucking dead, that we stink. And then we won 5 straight and went to Indy. How many times you guys go to Indy, bitch? And we'll just sit here and be like, you know, you're right. You're right. Fuck them. Unbelievable. We really were maybe right, the only right. ones. We after Ohio State, we may have been the only ones in the media, call us media, I don't like that, that said, hey, all of these games are winnable. We weren't totally down on them, at least me and you, Kev. Drake was pretty
down and out.
He was pretty down and out.
Wasn't super high in them, but, you know, like you said, there's no reason that they couldn't win every game left on the schedule.
And they've stepped up to the plate and found a way in 4 out of 4 since then. And if you think that their fire is starting to burn out now, let me tell you that they are looking at this game as the championship game because it's the ticket into the championship. Iowa will come out ready to go.
And I guarantee you both, all those guys in that locker room would love another shot at Ohio State or Michigan.
Everyone will have us dead in that game too. And maybe so. But let's strap it up, huh? Let's strap it up.
Find it out.
So Floyd is back in his rightful spot in Iowa City in the trophy case. The boys are back on a short week, ready to prepare for the Huskers. The walk-ons are here to continue covering this insane season. And thank you guys so much for continuing to tune in and listen to our 3 dumbasses say whatever we want with no rules or consequences. That's it. 370, Drake, Kevin, myself. The walk-ons are out. We will talk to you on Thursday. Unless you're part of the Patreon, we'll talk to you on Tuesday for DHT. Until then, peace.
Peace.